Children can be dismissed for Bible hour if you are here, or junior worship. Well, good morning, disciples. We are called to be disciples serving in love. And as we start this new year, I want to encourage you as followers of Christ to look through your life and see if everything in your life is fulfilling this mission of being a disciple serving in love. It's so great to have everyone here on this Sunday morning worship, and I pray that you will continue to make this a weekly gathering, a weekly priority to come and share your love for God here in this way, in this place, in this time, as we gather together and worship every Sunday morning. And we have a vision for our life groups, that every member here would be a part of a life group. And we're excited that our life groups are getting kicked back off again. We've had kind of a break or a season with the holidays and maybe some sickness, but we're re-engaging in our life group ministry. Great opportunity for us to love one another. And if you are involved in a group, recommit to your groups that are starting to meet back again tonight. And if you're not in a group, we would love for you to be in a group. Because what it does as a disciple of Christ, to be sharpened, to grow, to love one another, to meet one another's needs, to have a meal and to have a study and to have prayer and to be involved in just doing life together with other Christians in a more intimate way. So loving God through our worship and loving others through our life groups. And we pray that everyone is involved in a ministry. As disciples serving in love, our mission is to serve the world, starting in this place and into all the ends of the earth. It's our goal that everyone in here has a ministry that you're involved with. And so if you are active in a ministry, continue serving in love. Continue growing in passion for how you can use your gifts to edify this body. And thank you for all those that do so many things to make this building and this function, to make this body healthy, to make worship happen, to make all the needs that we have be filled, to minister to so many different ones in so many different ways. And if you are active in a ministry, look around and look at others you may mentor in to raise up, to do what you're doing as you're serving passionately our God in this place. And if you're not involved in the ministry, there's so many things to be involved with. On that board there, back there, just outside here, we've kind of started this process of beginning to look at our works and our ministries and our servants and look at those, and maybe there's something in there that you can be involved with. We're encouraging all of our ministries to share a mission or a vision of growth, and also to be letting us know how others can be involved. I know for me, I have a desire to want to be involved with things, but until I know what the needs are, I don't know what I can do. And so if you're involved in the ministry and you say, man, it would be great to have more people doing this, or I could use help doing that, there are many people waiting this to get that invitation, to be asked to join in that work. And it's amazing what each member of the body can do and how each one is needed. I have no doubt that this body has everything it needs to be the body of Christ, to edify this church and to advance the kingdom in this place. And you know, our greatest resource is love. Our greatest resource is the love of God and how we get to grow in that. And so to be disciples serving in love. And I'm so excited for this season as we're being led to our Wednesday nights are going to be changing. We're going to be meeting at 6 o'clock starting now until God says, let's change, until you hear otherwise. But our focus is going to be on love. We're calling it Agape Night. The focus is going to be gathering around tables for a meal. Leah is organizing the meals. And so if you're worried about food, talk to her, but we're going to organize that for a while. And so come at 6, invite friends, invite family. We like to be able to grow to a place where we could tell to our community, join us for a meal. We're moving our pantry into the supply room over there. We're in that process, and we hope to be able to have our pantry open, to be able to tell our community, come eat with us, and our pantry is open, and have opportunity, a place in our week for us to serve one another and to serve the world through the resources we already have. And you know what the greatest resource is? You. It's your love of God and your love for one another. You know, that's something I hear all the time about this place. And isn't this a great loving group? Don't you feel loved when you're here? You feel noticed. You feel welcomed. You've been hugged. You've been known. And you think, That's just so common for us, but that is so uncommon for a lot of places. Unfortunately, some people go to places, even churches, and they don't feel that love. They don't feel that notice. They don't feel. You say, that's sad because that's not what we experience here one bit. So let's grow in that love. Let's provide opportunity to get more people around that love. And so I want to let you know that starting this week, 6 o'clock on Wednesday night, come and share a meal. And come and share your love. Come and share your gifts of ministry as we grow to be the kingdom of God in this place, to edify one another and to advance the kingdom, to love God, to love others, and to serve the world. Well, it's been good over the holiday to perhaps get away, to take a break, to get a rest. You ever find that sometimes you feel like you got to go away someplace to get a rest? You have to kind of get out of Dodge. You have to get away from things. You have to maybe go to some resort or go to some mountain or go to some ocean and go to some place to get away, to reorient, to recenter, to find God again, and just to find your mission and your calling and your purpose, or just to breathe and relax and to sleep a few days and let everything get checked out. Well, after Christmas Sunday, or Christmas Day on Monday, we had Christmas Eve and then Christmas Day on Monday, we celebrated Christmas at our house here in North Bend, and then we went up to Newport. Some people are wondering where we went, so I'm going to let you know where we went. You know, I know I have kind of a complicated story. I've come from a lot of places, so I could have been anywhere, which I could have been nowhere, and no one would have known it. I could have just stayed home. I had a staycation, and no one would have ever bothered me. Oh, he's off in Timbuktu. Well, we went up to Newport for a few days at Leah's parents up at Newport, and then we flew out the Wednesday to Nebraska. Brr, it was cold, negative degree weather. And there was snow on the ground, so we were excited to see snow, and the kids said, can we go play? And I thought, we might get 20 minutes. We got about 29 minutes before we were just all ice cubes and went sledding for a little while. But we were just bundled up for a few days at my parents' place and my brother's place, and to see a new niece we hadn't seen, to see our family. But before getting there in Nebraska, that's where we went. And then coming back New Year's Eve, got back last Sunday night, and then back into our full normal, whatever our normal schedule is this week. But as we were going up the coast to Leah's dad, of course, we live in the most beautiful place ever. I mean, I was thinking about, you know, I'm going away to see family, but I was thinking driving up the coast, and there was just a beautiful skyline, beautiful sunlight, and blue ocean. And, you know, once you get up to Florence, and you kind of get on the windy highway, and it starts to open up a little bit more there, and you start seeing the ocean. And I started noticing, you know, all these, like, resort places, you know, filled with people, that people are traveling here to spend the holiday, traveling to this place and this coast to rest and reflect and reconnect. And as I was driving and thinking about, you know, when I go stand on the ocean, on the beach, you know, that ocean just does something to me. You know, it just makes me feel so small and so insignificant, and to go how big and awesome God is. But as I was looking out, and as we arrived in our location, just looking out at the ocean and being able to focus on that, to think, you know, God created this beautiful world, this beautiful place, and then he put us in it. And why did he create all this? So that by the creation we would know that he is God. He said, don't go away. I made this and put this here so you will know who I am. You don't have to get away from it all. It's right here in front of you. Just look around. And there's no excuse to not know. But yet, we get so lost in this world, don't we? We get so lost in ourselves. We get so lost in all the different innovations and all the different opportunities and experiences that we can have in God's world. The world that was meant for us to know him can get us away from him. And so we have to get away from these other worlds that we create, these other places in ourselves or in our lives, and get away to go back and go, oh, yeah, God, you're so good.
And so God created this beautiful place. And you know, we've created other places. You know, we create resorts and we've created cities and places to go to experience, to get away from it all. Isn't that the advertisement for vacation? Just to get away. Get away and find what? Get away and do what? To check out and to connect with what? You ever go on a vacation to get away and you get away and you come back and you're like, ugh, man, I need to get away from the getaway. Don't you like need a staycation after you have the vacation just to kind of, ugh. You know, maybe it just quite didn't fulfill. It didn't quite give you what you didn't quite relax you. It just kind of filled you with all other things. And maybe you had these short enjoyments while you were there. But yet it still kind of leaves you empty. But when you look at the ocean, you stand on the beach, I mean, this is it. God's created this beautiful place. And I think as you come to those places, and maybe you have places where you go and find God. You know, the beach is one of those that makes me go and find God again. And think that He put us here to say, to know me, so that, you know, having been clearly seen, being understood, but from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. But even as there should be no excuse of our connection with God, but yet we all get distracted. And what does He do? Does He just leave us here and say, well, good luck, that's all I got? No, He comes down in the flesh so that all would know who He is, would recognize Him, so that all would receive Him. You know, after celebrating Christmas, we celebrate remembering that story of Jesus' birth, of the manger and the shepherds and the wise men and Mary and Joseph and the animals and the star and all of that awesome scene. And remember that John 1:14, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. And why did He do that? So that all would recognize Him and so that all would receive Him. Yet as John 1:12 says, yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Some recognize Him, some receive Him, but some still do not. But yet those who have recognized Him, those who have received Him, we get to be called children of God. As we gather here together as sons and daughters of the King, gathered in this place as disciples, followers of Christ to worship, we're gathered as the church, the body of believers, to serve in love. We're gathered in this location, in this place. You ever wonder, like, how did I get to this place? Why am I gathered here? Why am I living in this place and this time? But we're here in this location as disciples, as a body of believers in the North Bend, Coos Bay, South Coast, Oregon area, wherever you want to call this area, to advance the kingdom of God, to be shining lights, to bring mercy and justice and love and restoration and redemption to this part of the world. We're gathered in our homes as families. And why? What is our purpose there? To be schools of love. Places where we are making Christ known and growing as disciples. And we're gathered in our jobs. We're gathered in our civic lives. And why are we there? These places of work and these places of our social involvement. To be on mission as disciples serving in love. As ones who have received the Lord, have recognized the Lord, can acknowledge and know Him every day. And yes, sometimes we have to get away to find Him, but hopefully as we gather each week to remember, to gather here in this place, as we gather around this table to remember again, to reorient our lives around Him, to know who we are and who God is and how much He greatly loves us, but how much He greatly loves us to show that love to all the world. He is an awesome God. It is our mission to be disciples serving in love. As we start this new year, I want you to consider that very question. How did you get to this place on your journey? How did you remember? How did you become a disciple of Jesus? How did you answer that call to become his disciple? Well, my story is I was raised in a Christian home. And that's a blessing. That's a great blessing to have always known and heard about God and his son Jesus. Well, one of the things that really motivated me to want to make the decision to be a disciple, to be baptized, was that I noticed other people serving in the body, and I really wanted to be a part of that. And I saw some other younger people in my age group that were serving in the worship service and say, well, I want to do that. I love God. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. I understand all that. I want to be obedient to him. Well, to do that was, he said, they've been baptized. And I said, so I want that. I want to be able to be a part of that. I want to be a part of Christ. I want to be a part of his body in that way. And so when I was 10 years old, I was baptized in the Waldorf Church of Christ in Waldorf, Maryland. And because I wanted to serve. And that's the beginning part of my journey. And I still remember that baptism. I still remember, when I think about it, going down into that water. I remember what was said, because it was said at a lot of our baptisms. Probably what you've heard at most every baptism, perhaps at yours. You know, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of your sins, that you may receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I remember having my eyes open under the water. I wanted to know what was happening under there. But I remember having to squeeze my nose, because I hate the idea of water rushing up my nose, you know. You ever go underwater and you weren't ready and get that rush of water? Kind of worried about that. I think that's what sometimes scares some people about actually getting baptized, is the actual physical activity of going underwater can be kind of terrifying for some. I remember plugging my nose and him saying that and baptizing me and coming up. I still can remember, and every time I see a baptism or think about baptism, I think about that. Well, as we start this year on mission, serving and love, I want to invite you. I open this up to thinking, man, someone forgot to shut that. You know, I took down the beautiful decorations that was up here. This is not as beautiful as what we normally see, but to come up this morning and actually touch the water, to touch that water, to remember that baptism. There's something about getting wet, something about some physical things that we do. You know, we remember the Lord's Supper by doing something physical, don't we? We eat bread. We drink juice. We share. You know, we participate together through song and prayer. I want to invite you to come and touch the water, to remember your baptism, to reclaim and reaffirm your discipleship in the Lord. Do you remember being baptized? Can you remember that day? Can you remember what happened? Do you remember being buried in the waters of baptism? Do you remember being buried in being united with the death of Christ? Do you remember having your sins washed away? Do you remember being clothed with Christ in baptism? Do you remember receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit in your baptism? Do you remember being united with Christ and the body of Christ in that baptism? Do you remember when you answered that call to become the Lord's disciple? When you answered that call, just like those first disciples that Jesus called when he says, come follow me. Perhaps you were raised in a family, or perhaps you were raised in this church. You were raised in this place. You're raised in a family where you've known the stories for a long time. But when you remember when you came to that place where it was your decision to answer that call to say, yes, I believe Jesus Christ is Lord. Yes, I believe he's the Son of God. And I know without him, I'm lost. And that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And there's no other way to come to the Father except through him. And so as an obedient child, I want a part of that. Or perhaps your story is a little different, where you weren't a part of that. You weren't raised in a Christian home. And where later on, someplace, you lived your life as an outsider. Or you lived your life away. Or you lived your life in a struggle of not knowing. And somewhere along the way, you became a seeker. And somebody came alongside you and explained the stories to you, invited you into the community, and loved you, was carrying out that love of God and that love of others, and loved you enough to wrestle with you and to share with you and to talk with you and spend time with you, for you to seek into the Scriptures and to come to say, yes, I believe, and you were baptized. We all have different places in that journey, but do you remember that baptism? As we remember our baptism this morning, I want us to remember a few baptisms as you're thinking about your own. Do you remember the baptism of Jesus? You know, our baptism is like the baptism of Jesus in a lot of ways. See, Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John, but John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. Why do you come to me? And Jesus replied, let it be so. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. He was buried in that water, and he came up out of the water. At that moment, the heaven was opened up, and the Spirit of God descended on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. That his baptism was not like the baptism of John, of just the water, baptism of water and repentance, but it was a baptism of a water and of the Spirit, and the Spirit descended on him. And you see the presence of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Jesus is there, and the Holy Spirit is descending on him. And God is saying, this is my Son whom I love. Listen to him. He has come here so that all people will know who I am. So you don't have to get away. You just have to get into the way. Get into his way and unite with his life and his death and his resurrection. Was your baptism like that? Was it water and spirit? Your baptism was the Acts 2:38, like I said, what's probably said at most baptisms that you've been a part of, or maybe even you were a part of. Was your baptism like that Acts 2:38, where Peter had given the word and preached the message about who Christ was, and everyone was cut to the heart, and they said, what must we do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this promise is for you and for all who are far off, whom the Lord will call. Was your baptism like Jesus, where you were connected with Christ through his name, you were forgiven of sins, and you received the Holy Spirit? As you remember your baptism this morning, do you remember the baptism of the eunuch in Acts 8:26 and following? Perhaps your story was like his story, or part of his story, where, see, the eunuch was not one who was raised in the family of God. He was a Gentile. He was in service to the Ethiopian queen, Candace of the Ethiopians. And on top of that, he was a eunuch. He had emasculated himself. He had neutralized his gender in service to what he thought was right, that he needed to be sexually neutral in order to be in complete service and dedication to his queen. He had been transfigured in that way. But he was an outsider. He was an outcast, as far as many would have thought possible for someone to be a part of the kingdom of God. We go in Acts 8, but not according to God. That's man's thinking. Acts 8:26. So now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go to the south road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot, and stayed near it. So here he was, an outsider, a Gentile, but he was seeking. He was opening up the prophet of Isaiah, but not quite understanding it. Perhaps your story is like that, where you maybe were an outsider. You were unknown to the people of God and the ways of God and the teachings of God, but yet you began to seek. There were things that came up in your life that got you thinking. You heard something, or you read something, or someone came into your life and invited you into something, but yet you didn't quite understand. And so the seeker is seeking, and God knows. And so God sends Philip. It says in verse 30, then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. He says, do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited him to come and sit with him. The eunuch was reading the passage of Scripture, which is
found in Isaiah 53. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. As a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For this life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. So perhaps your story is like the story where you were a seeker and you didn't quite understand, but yet someone walked with you and wrestled with you and went through all your questions and your doubting and your understanding of who God is. And if you look at the passage in Isaiah 53, if you started there and it says, well, who is he talking about? Of course, we know he's talking about Jesus. And Philip knew if this is being fulfilled in the life of Jesus. And if you go on through as Isaiah 53 and 54 and 55, and as he goes on and telling him more, you know, this outsider, this Gentile, this eunuch has got to be thinking, but it's impossible for me. I've removed myself. I've done too much damage to my life. I've made too many bad decisions outside of the Lord. How could the Lord ever accept me? But God's always had place for the outsider. Always had place for the foreigner. Always had those who've made what seems like impossible choices to overcome. In Isaiah 56, I would hope, I can imagine Philip getting this, knowing who this eunuch was and what he had done in his life and the places he put himself and that he was neutral in his gender. In Isaiah 56, starting in verse 3, says, let no foreigner who has bound himself to the Lord, no foreigner say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. Let not any eunuch complain, I am only a dry tree, for this is what the Lord says. To the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give them my temple and all its walls, a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will not be cut off. And foreigners who bind themselves to me to serve him, to love the name of the Lord, to worship him, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it, and all who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house and prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all the nations. The Lord, sovereign Lord, declares, and he who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others of them besides those who are gathered. Do you hear the good news? That you are thinking you are outside, that you're not good enough, but if you will obey, there is a place for you in the kingdom. Is your story perhaps like that where you thought, no, there's no way, but when you come to understand the great love of God, you have no choice, but you are propelled into that love. Like the eunuch, back in Acts chapter 8, verse 36, after the eunuch explains to him everything in the Scriptures and tells him about, starting with the prophets of Isaiah and telling him everything about the good news of Jesus. Verse 36, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared in Azotus and traveled about preaching the good gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. You remember your baptism? Was it one where you felt like you were an outsider, but when you came to know the love of God, you were compelled by that love to obey, to confess, to repent, to turn away from that way of life, and to be baptized? The final baptism I want you to remember is the baptism of not just the Philippian jailer, but also of his family. Perhaps you were raised in a family. Now, the exciting part is the part about the jailer, but also thinking about the family, perhaps like myself being raised in a family that knew about God and knew about Christ. It was a little different story than those who were not raised that way, who maybe felt outside at one time. In Acts 16, we hear this account, and to kind of catch us up to the end of the story, Paul and Silas were preaching and teaching and healing. Well, they were put in the prison. And they were put in prison because they had cast out a demon from a girl who was demon-possessed. Well, you seem like that seemed like a good thing. Who would want to be demon-possessed? But this demon-possessed girl had some ability to fortune-tell. And so some other guys had made her their slave and began to make money through her, sending her out to do fortune-tellings and to tell people. But it was in a evil, demonic pressure over her life that was causing her to do that. Well, Paul and Silas get to town. They see this demon-possessed girl who's speaking in this way, and they cast the demon out, and they're upset because of this the money-making for these people. And now that there's a skirmish in the city, and, you know, the Roman government did not like any type of, you know, conflicts going on, wanted to kind of shut those things down. So what's a one way to stop problems from happening? Just lock up the people who cause them the problems, right? Don't ask questions. Don't deal. So they put Paul and Silas in jail. Well, while they're in jail, they began singing songs and praises. They began praying to God. And at that moment, the prison doors were shaken and their chains came loose. Well, the jailer wakes up in the middle of the night because of the shaking and the stirring and, the, you know, maybe the sound of chains falling and the doors opening up. And he rushes in. He draws his sword ready to kill himself. I'm like, whoa, what's going on here? Why is he going to do that? Well, because if in the Roman government, if prisoners go away, someone's got to pay the life for those prisoners. So what would happen is if you lose the prisoners, well, you're going to pay for their price and you're going to die. He thought, well, I'm just going to take care of this, so I don't have to deal with that. He draws his sword ready to kill himself. And Paul and Silas says, we're here. We're here. And now we're in the story, Acts 16:29. The jailer called for the lights, rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. When he brought them out and asked them, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. They spoke the word of the Lord to him, to all the others in his house. So now his whole family is a part of this. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them, washed their robes, then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house, set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. Perhaps as you remember your story of your following of being a disciple, perhaps you were raised in a household. Well, yeah, this is what mom and dad does. This is what they're a part of. And as you come to that place and understanding that, so do you remember your baptism? Do you remember when you confessed Jesus is the Son of God? Do you remember that when you confessed Jesus is Lord? When you knew Jesus is Savior and I'm lost without Him, and by me making Him my Lord and my Savior through baptism, He has become my King. And all life now is determined by Him and His Lordship. And you remember being repenting at that moment, saying, okay, I know I've done this. I know I've sinned. And I know I don't want to sin. So I'm going to cut out all those evil practices, all those things that don't fall in line with the King. I'm going to give up that habit and give up that lifestyle. And I'm going to work myself in a journey and service to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Do you remember when you answered the call to follow Jesus and you agreed? As that first calling that Jesus made to the disciples, he says, come follow me. And he didn't say, just call follow me and that's it. He says, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. How are you as a disciple serving love? How are you as a disciple making other disciples? You answered that call when you received that baptism, you received that forgiveness and the Holy Spirit and you're united with Christ. Do you remember that excitement of, I got to tell everyone about this. I got to tell everyone about this good news about how much God loves me and how much God loves them. I want to be a disciple that tells others to be a part of this kingdom, to be a part of His family, to be a part of this. And so where are you as a disciple making disciples? And where are you involved in ministry and loving others and serving the world? You know, how many of you want to be great? Don't you want to be great? I mean, I've always wanted to be great. You know, I feel like I've always been good at something, good at a few things, but not great at a lot. You know, they say, jack of all trades, but master of none. That's me. That's how I feel.
You know, but even as a follower of God, don't you want to be great? I mean, don't you want to be able to say, yeah, I'm a fisher of men. Yeah, I'm on fire for the Lord. You know, and that's going to make me great. And you know, but it's kind of like, that doesn't seem quite right. You know, it'd be all about me. and you know, and what happens to anybody who's great? They fall. You're only so good for so long, and then something's going to fall out. Something's going to be discovered. So it's like, I don't know if I want all that attention. I don't know if I want to be in that place. Well, part of my story was when I answered that call and being raised in a Christian family and wanted to be a servant, is that I wanted to serve. And it started by wanting to serve in the church. And right after I was baptized when I was 10, my dad was in the Navy, and he said he's going to be stationed in the Philippines. Well, he's not going to go by himself. We're all going with him. Well, in the Philippines was a great church life experience for me. An opportunity to serve because we met in home. There was a home church we were part of, and then there was a Philippine church that we were a part of. And my dad looked at us, and me and my brother, he's a couple years older than me, and he had just recently been baptized a few months before I was, and said, guys, we need you to serve. So he was an opportunity to serve, to begin helping in worship services and singing, leading songs and reading scripture and leading prayers. And then moving to Montana, the Sydney, Montana Church, Sydney Church of Christ in Northeast Montana. It was a church of 100 people. Again, I can serve and was excited to be able to serve in that body as a high school student. And then to be able to go to youth rallies and go to camps. And this the song, Make Me a Servant, was a song that says, yeah, I can get behind that. I can be a part of that. But a part of me still wanted to be great. And you know, those early disciples, they wrestled with that. Wanting to be great, wanting to be the ones that could sit on the right hand or left hand of Jesus. And even, you know, you ever have your mom try to put a good word in for you? You know, try to say, well, I'll call that coach. And you're like, no, don't do that. Right? I'll call that boss for you. Will he put a good word in for you? Is he trying to give you that one step up to give you that place? Well, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, their mother tried to do this with Jesus. She goes to Jesus and says, grant that one of my two sons may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. Jesus answered, and I like his answer, and I hope you do too. Whoever wants to be great among you must become your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. We are called into service. We are called into ministry. So where are you on this journey today? Have you been baptized? Are you a disciple serving in love? What's preventing you? What's preventing you from being a disciple? That's your confession this morning. What is preventing you from being active in church life, in a ministry? That's your confession this morning. Do you remember your baptism? Do you remember your first love? This morning, I'm going to ask us to touch the water. Really. Participate. To touch the water. And there's nothing special about that water. It's just water. But what it does is it remembers. Remembering your baptism. Remembering your commitment. And your response. And to recommit and to re-respond to the Lord's invitation. To take you back to that day and that moment. And come up here and touch the water. Perhaps you've not been baptized. And maybe this physical reminder, this physical touching of that water to think, yes, I want to be baptized. Yes, I do need to repent of ways that aren't of the Lord. Yes, I do need to proclaim that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and He is Lord and Savior. I do need to confess that I want to be a disciple serving in love. And so after touching this water, and I hope it stirs something in you. And I hope that as we're gathered here close that you share. As this invitation song is being given, if you are able, and many of you are, to come and just to walk by here, touch that water, to remember your baptism. As we start this year together with this vision, this purpose of wanting to be disciples, serving in love, starting here in this place, and recommitting our lives to Him, and recommitting ourselves to the service of this body and the service of in this community. To remember and to come and to remember your baptism, to come to touch the water, to come to be disciples serving in love. And after you touch that, you can go sit down. But I'm going to be right here. If you want to respond and you want to confess something, you want to recommit something. That's what we're here to do, body. That's what we're here to do. And let this be a powerful start to this stage in your journey as we continue to be disciples, serving in love, as we stand and as we move forward and sing.